The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing." "Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I got an email this weekend advising me I'm due to pay for a holiday in a 3 months' time. And I was reminded of a holiday 8 years ago, a fantastic holiday, on the island of Skiathos in the Greek islands. Has anyone ever been to Skiathos? There you go. There's a very exciting place on Skiathos where you can watch the aircraft come in. You stand right at the end of the runway by the sea, and it's an amazing place to stand and watch. But it was a fantastic holiday, and one day we took a boat trip, a privately organised boat trip. We're walking around the harbour, there's this notice here advertising trips. It was cheaper than what TUI were offering, and we took it. And we went to Skopelos. Has anyone been? I'm guessing if not many have been to Skiathos, you might not have been to Skopelos, because to get to Skopelos, you have to fly to Skiathos and get a boat anyway. You can't fly there. But both islands have been made more famous by the making of the movie Mamma Mia. Now, who's been to see Mamma Mia? Few more hands. And all those romantic scenes are in Skiathos and Skopelos. The church at the top of the hill is on Skopelos. I suppose there's not much else there, so Skopelos really has capitalised on this fame. Everywhere you go, it's Mamma Mia attractions, you know what I mean? Anyway, we went out on this boat trip. And we didn't go to see the sights of Mamma Mia. We went for a boat trip. And there were 10 of us on the boat. And we were the only two British people. And the other 8 were Italians. And only one of them could speak good English. So what was her name? Alexandria. She did all the translating through the day. She was kept very busy. And then there was this sumptuous lunch served up later in the day, and I've got photographs of it. You know, beautiful spread on this boat. But before we had lunch, we went into this bay by a beach called Castani Beach. A very romantic place where Does Your Mother Know was sang, and I Believe in Angels, I Have a Dream. And it was a dreamy scene. Beautiful beach in the distance. Turquoise blue waters. And you could just see the odd reflection of fish here and there, but really there wasn't much happening. The water was very deep, very inviting for a swim. The bottom was a long way off, and it was so quiet and peaceful. And it didn't take long for both of us really to launch ourselves into the water and enjoying ourselves. And I suddenly became aware that Angela wasn't there anymore. I thought, where's she gone? And she was heading back towards the boat. And I thought, okay, maybe she doesn't want to stay for a swim much longer, you know. So I'm enjoying myself. And then I realised why. Because one of the my fellow passengers lobbed a huge chunk of bread into the water about 6 feet from where I was swimming. She was laughing as she climbed the ladders to get on the boat. Suddenly the sea was a lot busier than what I'd realised, as this frenzy of fish were gorging themselves on this hunk of bread that I saw rapidly disappearing. I thought, please don't mistake me for the bread. And I headed back to the boat. It wasn't very pleasant, but I have to say we had a jolly good laugh about it. It was funny when I look back, but at the time, it was rather disconcerting in the midst of all that frenzy in the water. But that experience that day on that boat made me think of this reading today at that time, and how it must have felt when all those fish were suddenly landed in the nets. When Jesus invited Peter to let down the nets for a catch. Why were the fish suddenly attracted to that area where the disciples were told to cast the nets? The whole night had been fruitless. Not a single fish had been caught. And then the sheer weight of all these fish meant that reinforcements were needed to bring the catch in. What happened to those fish, I wonder? Well, clearly they went to market or something. But we're told the disciples left everything and followed Jesus. Was it immediate? Did they leave those fish for others to sell? Or did they go to the market first? Either way, there's a juxtaposition in this story that the disciples are going about their everyday business, tired, empty-handed, demoralized. Not a single fish. Empty nets meant no money, no food on the table. The arrival of Jesus meant abundance, hitting the jackpot. Prosperity came. And no sooner has prosperity arrived than Simon and Peter and all the others must leave it behind. But it all came from leaving the shore and going to the deep water for the catch. I think that last hymn summed up this leaving the things behind very well. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. But this is not just a miracle story about catching loads of fish. It's one of transformation, as Simon Peter is called to new life. As indeed, in the Old Testament reading, it was a calling to a new life, wasn't it? The prophet Isaiah in the temple is called by the living God. Simon Peter was with the others, washing his nets, getting ready for a well-deserved sleep after a fruitless night's fishing. And Jesus comes along, does some teaching, and then says, go out to the deep. in Skopelos, the guy chucking the bread in the water so courageously near me. Did he get in the water himself, I wonder? I can't remember now. Angela's shaking her head. No, he just threw the food in. But you know, if ever you've swum in deep water and you can't touch the bottom, you've got to work hard to stay there. Tread water or swim, or you sink. It is hard work, but from a fishing perspective, that's where the rewards are too. To stay content in the shallows is safe. It's comfortable. It's nice and warm, the water in the shallows, isn't it? But the shallows are the place of empty nets. Generally speaking, what fish are there are so small they can pass through. It's nice and cozy in the shallows. The water is warmer. The place is safer. If you want to fill your nets, you've got to go out to the deep. That's where the fish are. Jesus didn't say to Simon, put your nets out in the deep water and let's see if anything happens. No, he said, put your nets out into the deep water for a catch. Jesus was certain there would be a catch. Jesus wants people who will go deep water fishing. And I don't necessarily mean big, expensive projects or trying to change the whole world. Simply being obedient to him is stepping into the deep water. Being prepared to take a risk, if that's what he places on your heart. And if he does place something on your heart, then of course the risk is a perceived risk. We're perfectly safe in his company. When we cannot touch the bottom, then surely trust grows in him. The deep is not just a place to fish, but a place where we are changed. Going deeper in our relationship with God to bring the transformative gifts of the Spirit, to let the love of Christ grow into our lives and touch other lives too. The gospel today invites us, asks us the question, do we want to go to the deep water? Are we going to put down the net for a catch? Amen.